The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. We don't tell them what to do, but sort of we do. And then what do we do with those stories, Jake?
We use those stories as inspiration for long-form improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. Oh, it's a dang hoot. If you like the show, if you are interested in improv, or you just like Jake and I improvising, we have a special second episode we do every week called The Potatoes, where we get sort of a live set that Jake and I do for his We Improv show. That's on there. And then we also take a little bit of that and we explain sort of our moves or answer questions from our Discord channel. That's all on patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. That's the business. Check us out there if you're interested in what we do. And now let's show you what we do. Probably should be the reverse order, but you know, we're doing our best. Let's start the show. Today we have two very special guests. We'll start with our returning guests from Illuminati Improv, teammate of mine on Teacher's Lounge, assuming that ever comes back in person, Corey Willis.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, man.
Josh and the other guest who I will not name yet.
Yeah, Dick, don't jump the gun.
No.
We've never had a guest introduce a guest. That would be friggin' weird.
No. Trying to maintain that that spotless record.
Mm-hmm. Nice. We have a lot of meatheads with their pens to their pads right now waiting for a mistake for the history books, which will be discarded immediately when they find them. All right, our second guest, a first timer, a friend of mine, maybe since I've moved out here. I feel like I've known you since the very beginning out in LA here. Joe Ulrich.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, we've known each other quite a while. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
When did you come out, Joe? I not to start it here, but when did you come out to LA?
Well, I went to USC, so I came here. I started at USC in 2000 and pretty much moved out to LA right after college. And then I started at UCB probably when the theater was like had been out here like a year and a half. And I think I met you like pretty soon right after I started doing classes and stuff. So yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's 2007 for me. That's when I came out to LA. But I was out there before that too, actually. So anyway, point being,
we've been sucked into the city. So yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that we have in common, Joe, is sort of a very specific, I feel like I've seen you at very specific concerts, and we also went to a very specific concert together, Creeper Lagoon.
Yeah, we went and saw Creeper Lagoon. I remember you posted on Facebook that you had an extra ticket, and I'm probably the only other person you know who knows who Creeper Lagoon is and had their one album, but that was a really fun show.
I've never heard those two words together back to, like, Creeper Lagoon. I've never heard those two words put together in the English language.
Probably most people outside of the band's immediate friends don't know of them. But it was a really great album, and it was a fun show.
Yeah, they did have a good album. Jake, you ever heard of them? I'm going to assume no, but...
No.
I found them in a very strange way. A coworker of mine saw an episode of Mr. Show where David Cross was wearing a Creeper Lagoon shirt, and then he looked it up and found it was a band, and then found the album and shared it with me.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting.
Wow.
I remember.
Was he also into comedy, or was this like, oh, my friend Josh loves comedy. I watched a comedy show and there was a random assembly of words on someone's shirt. Like, how did this? why did he tell you?
Well, I think we both just liked music, like, and we worked together. So we, like, one of the big prizes of working at the place we worked was that you could bring in your CDs and make it and play them over the loudspeakers.
Oh, God.
So he would I don't know if he must have brought in their CD, and he told me how he found it. That just happened to be through Bob and David. which I'm not even sure I was into at the time, to be honest.
I'd like it if he specifically only found music from T-shirts and Bob and David sketches.
Yes.
That's his style. So
it's only Creeper Lagoon. That's
the whole Creeper Lagoon. It's all I listen to.
Yeah. It wasn't, I will say about that Creeper Lagoon show, it was the first show of a band that I knew of that, like, the energy on stage was like the same as like my, when I get together with some friends to play music, it's like kind of cool that we're doing this, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, it was that's because it was a reunion show, and like they're not even in music really anymore. So it was like, yeah, it felt more like kind of a, like, hang out, like, do you guys know that we know how to play kind of vibe?
Yeah.
Like, someone at that show was like in their life and had no idea that they were musicians, and were like, what, you wait, you're good, wow, you should do this more.
Honestly, I think so. I think there's some people that, like, the bass player or something brought their, like, coworkers who are like, I don't know what he did, but it would. Do you remember that vibe?
Yeah, though? Yeah. Definitely mentioned it. They definitely mentioned it. You know, it was like, yeah, I told everyone that I used to be in a band, and they came out.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. Whoa. So yeah, definitely different than your average concert vibe. But it was also kind of cool because they are. I mean, like I said, I was a fan of theirs, and they were good. So that must have been like a cool feeling for them to say, like, hey, come check out my show, and you actually know what you're doing, because I bet their coworkers are like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think one of them maybe does a recording studio, not in L.A.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, he's like a sound engineer or something? Like, doesn't even...
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what a great post-band career, though, to be like, I'm just going to open a studio up and be a sound engineer. Like,
that's really...
Not the rock star dream.
Yeah.
You know, get to work on it. What's the... I guess this makes me want to ask that might be the small, like, a band that I knew of that I went to go see that is, like, I guess the smallest or like an intimate or just a weird setting like that. Mm-hmm. What's the smallest band you've seen in concert, or like, I don't know. Have you ever been at a concert where you're like, there's not a lot of us that like this, but I am here and I like it. That's a weird question, but.
Yeah, I immediately got one. It's a massive band now, but like when it started out, it was no one like really knew who they were. And they came and played a small nightclub in my hometown, which is, well, not my hometown, but that town that I grew up in, which is Clifton Park, a little concert venue, concert venue in quotes, called Northern Lights. And Coca-Cola put on a free concert in like my junior year. I don't know, maybe my senior year. Yeah, it was 1999, senior year. And I was like, oh, my friends like might like the music that I'm into. I should bring them along with me. So like I gathered four or five friends who would kind of, you know, we'd hang out and roll around in the car and listen to the same music together. And they were all like, yeah, sure, we'll come check them out. And we went and saw them. And it was the Black Eyed Peas featuring Macy Gray with like a full five-piece band in like a nightclub in my town, where max capacity was like maybe 200 people, like maybe. But they crushed it. Like, and no one, like everyone there was just like, wow, this is great. It's like a lily white town in upstate New York. So like the Black Eyed Peas with Macy Gray and a whole jazz band was like revelatory for pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that Black Eyed Peas pre-Fergie?
Yeah, that was, yep. That was literally like the song Love Won't Wait. If you can remember that from their first album, like Macy Gray sang like the female vocals on a lot, I think on several of their things, on several of their cuts. And then she wasn't really big, so she just kind of bopped around with them on tours and stuff. But yeah, it was just wild. Just such a weird... Yeah, but no Fergie.
I actually forgot until you mentioned it. Like, I always forget that Black Eyed Peas had their pre-pop Fergie era, you know, because that's when they got so big.
It was,
yeah, like
great.
They were like a different group.
I was obsessed with the Black Eyed Peas for such a long time, and then like the original version of Let's Get It Started came out, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know if I want to sing that hook over and over again. And then they pivoted to like pop, and like it was just like, oh, I think because they remade that song because for anyone who isn't aware of it, they use the a slur talking about people who are mentally disabled in the hook of that, and it's like they went from that to being like, I mean, like a halftime Super Bowl act within like a couple of years. So they had to like go back and change that song. And now that song is just out of rotation, like the original version. It's crazy.
The Black Eyed Peas are always going to be kind of triggering for me because I spent many years editing bar mitzvah videos. And when I got, and basically like I would edit a highlight, you know, they'd film the whole bar mitzvah and then the kid would get to pick out three or four of their favorite songs. I would edit a highlight video. And from the time that I Got a Feeling came out, for I'd say a good 5 or 6 years, like the other, like they could pick four songs. The other three, it'd be different. Each kid would pick it, but every kid picked I Got a Feeling. And so every job I would do, there'd be a little variety and stuff. But I learned how to edit that. I could that song into pieces. I knew the exact moments to show the kid going up in the chair and everything. I had it down to a science. And now if I ever hear I Got a Feeling, like all these bar mitzvah flashbacks come into my head. And it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
I love that.
Yeah, you definitely won't have the same relationship with that song ever.
No, it's ruined.
That's it. Yep.
Jake, do you got anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I went to college at Colorado State, and they had two very small venues, so we would see small bands all the time. I mean, the smallest is my friend's band that was like two people, and it was called Diagnosis Awesome. And it was like, they would do like weird themed shows where it was like they'd book out a bowling alley and we'd go see that, or like they'd do like a circus show and like everybody would dress like in like a big ringmaster. He would dress like a ringmaster and stuff like that. And just, it was, the two of my friends, and he played the bass and my other friend played the drums, and they just like, it was mostly like instrumental stuff. But I saw the one that comes to mind. I saw Mark.
By the way, that does sound awesome.
Yeah, that sounds so fucking cool. Yeah.
It was great. And then at the end, he would just like pull everybody up on stage and we'd just like bounce around, and it was a real time. But we saw Mark Malman. I had a couple of friends in college who would just like go see shows all the time and would know who was coming and things like that. So like, I'd just go along for the ride. And he's like a musician out of Minnesota, and it's basically just him and a piano, and he would get like fucking tanked and like he would ride the piano at one point, and it's just like really fucking rad. And then I moved to San Diego and I was like, oh shit, Mark Malman's coming through. And I talked two of my friends into like driving up to see him at the Beauty Bar, which I think is like a small chain of venues.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I know, familiar. I've been to a Beauty Bar. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we like got there early, and there was like, it's the bar up front, and then in the back is like the stage or whatever. And we like sat at the bar, and Mark Malman was just sitting at the bar, and I think he offered to buy us a drink, like the three. He's like, can I get you guys a drink? And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, can I ask, like, what are you doing here? And I was like, we're here to see you, actually. And he was like, really? And he was like, all right, man. And like, true to his form, he got fucking trashed and played the piano. And it was like, there was maybe like 12 of us there. And I was like, this guy's rad. I still like, I think he's great. But that was like for sure the smallest one, and just like dragging my two friends to basically like a guy performing for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what comes to mind.
I used to do weird, I was like a really big into snowboarding and like indie music when I was before I got into comedy. So like I would get on, and I lived in upstate New York, and we would just hop on the train and go down to any number of venues, like either like a basement or whatever, and see artists like that. The most obscure is a dude named Dobry that I went and like literally just like stood next to him. Like I stood next to him while he performed, and there were like six other people in the crowd. But like, I would do weird shit like that all the time. And like see people who they kind of ask that same question, like, what are you doing here? I paid money to come see you. And they'd be like, Oh, wow. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's so wild. Yeah. The other weird time that made me think of, this is like the only time this has ever happened to me, but I met a woman on a plane and we like hit it off, and she turned out to be a drummer in a heavy metal band. And she was like, you should come see our show. And so I brought those friends who would always bring me to shows. And it was like, they were performing in like an abandoned warehouse turned commune. Like people were living there. And she was like the drummer for this all female heavy metal band. And that was truly like, well, if I hadn't have sat next to you on the plane, there's no way I would ever have been here. Like, it was like, yeah, people were living and performing in what was like a warehouse. This was in Denver. It was very weird. I like met her on the plane and she's like, we should hang out. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then she's like, my band is playing. And I was like, we should go check out this band. And it was like, it was wild. I was like, this is the wildest experience. Like, it wasn't even really a show. She was like, we're playing, but it was just kind of like, oh, you're like having a party at your house. And you set up your stuff to do play music. And not music you can talk over, just like metal. Yeah.
I've been to so many metal shows. I love them. I love metal shows. They're so bad for you, but like, I love them.
Getting in mosh pits and stuff.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And I'm a big dude. So I would just go in there and people would be like, oh, that's my target. And I would just go and fucking bash into people. It was great. I loved it so much.
I'm the move out of the way guy. Yeah. I see it. I'm like, all right, you guys have fun. Yeah.
Well, that's who I am now. But
that's my cue to go to the bar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You stand on the edge. Sometimes I stand on the edge and I'll just like give like a shove once in a while, like,
yeah,
the last get back in there.
I went to like an Odd Future show in Terminal 5 in New York City, like when they had like, it was this huge thing because Earl Sweatshirt had like gone away, had been like sent away to like basically like rehab ish.
Samoa, right?
Yeah, he was in Samoa, like learning to be a good person. And I went to the reunion show where he came back. Whoa. And it was like, and I went with my friend Maz, and like the two of us in our 30s were like, this is so cool. Let's hang out at the bar. And we just watched like the wildest fucking mosh pits form, and just, I mean, people were jumping off of like the balconies and shit and like crowd surfing, like 20-foot jumps off. Like, it was just wild. But yeah, I was like, I'll drink my Jameson and ginger ales at the bar. Thank you very much.
Improv. All right. Tickets, please. Can I see your ticket?
Yeah.
Yep. Make sure.
Yep, here you go.
All right, so this is a ticket for the concert tonight.
Right, that's
Planet Awesome is playing.
Yeah.
And you have a ticket for them, and you're gonna you you paid money to come see this particular band.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is there a prop? I mean, I almost called you officer because you have this like imposing bouncer feel to you.
I appreciate that.
All right. Okay. Is there a problem? Is there like a problem with the venue or the band or?
No. No. Everything is set to go.
Cool. I just usually just hand my ticket, maybe get like a pat down and then go in. So it's just weird to get the third degree.
So you're here to see Planet Awesome.
Yeah, I'm here to see Planet Awesome. I went to college.
How did you find out about us?
Well, wait, holy shit. Oh my God. You're the bassist.
Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of I play bass in Planet Awesome, but yeah, wait.
Oh, why are you working the door?
How do you know that? Did you see? Well, I'm working the door. I'm working the door as we're kind of saving some money here, but I kind of can't believe this. There's a line of people here to see Planet Awesome, and I'm just making sure you know you're coming in to see my band. I'm going to be playing bass in it. We're going to be playing all of our songs. We're going to play all of our songs. Like, we're going to play like 11 songs, 12 songs.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And you want to listen to that?
Yeah, I mean, I know you only had that EP release, but like, I want to hear all the stuff that you worked on in the studio. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of yours.
Okay.
I've been following you since I was in junior high, and it's like, this is, wow, what?
Well, it's nice to meet you. Do you need anything from me?
Yeah, could you sign, I mean, can you sign the back of my ticket stub so I could say that I've got, I mean, what?
You want to get ruined this with marker? You could, like, this could potentially be useful ticket stub if you want to use it for kindling on a fire later or whatever. But if you put markers on it, I don't know if the chemicals in the mark, the Sharpie might. You want my audit? I'll do it. I mean, I'll do it for a lark.
I want Tristan's. I want Tristan Barrick's. I want his autograph. I want your autograph, Tristan. Like, this is going to be worth. I would never use this for kid. Like, you've got a cult following, Tristan. Do you know? You know that, right?
I guess so. I'm out here to get to the bottom of it because I simply don't buy it. I don't buy that anyone's into our music, but.
Okay.
If you say so, but I am onto you.
A right, very attractive woman comes up. Tristan, I put my number. Yeah. I'm staying at a hotel. I put here's a hotel key in the room I'm in. After the show, I'd love to have sex with you.
Who put you up to this, David?
I don't know who David is. I'm just a big fan of Planet Awesome and...
Okay. All right. Whatever. I don't.
My husband gave me a pass. My husband gave me a pass, so I'm using it on you.
You're using a pass. You're using a hall pass on the bass player for Planet Awesome?
Yes.
Tristan?
Yes, you, Tristan.
This is David, right? Here, let me see. Take off your mask.
What? Ow!
Scratches her neck. Come on, this has got to be
I'm a very attractive woman.
Yeah, right. Okay, what's the plan here?
The plan is you come back to my hotel room. We have great sex. I get off on you coming, so you don't even have to worry about me.
What? Okay, come on. Who is this? Who is this?
He tries to pull her wig off.
Come on. I know this can't be real. You get off on me coming? Who is this? Ah. That can't be.
Ah. It is.
Tristan.
Yes?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm just so overwhelmed, like, seeing you here. I drove across country. I quit my job. I just had to come to the show.
What?
Yeah, no,
we're touring. Where do you live?
I'm from Juneau, Alaska. I left my family. I said I don't know when I'll be back, and I just can't believe it's actually you.
For me? Yeah. I mean,
for all of you guys, for all Planet Awesome. Wow.
I mean, I really appreciate it. I mean, we do work hard on our albums and stuff like that, but I just can't believe that anyone would be moved by, I don't know, what do we sing music about? I mean, our music is just about, like, heartbreak and partying. And
he pokes him in the shoulder. Oh my God, you're real.
Of course I'm real. Hey, knock it off.
He pokes him again. Oh,
ah, quit poking
wow.
me.
Sorry. I didn't believe it. I just thought it might be a mirage. I haven't slept in 4 days.
Do you have a ticket, by the way?
I thought you'd sell them at the door.
We cut to the Grammys. And Grammy for the most accomplished Lifetime Achievement Award doesn't even go to the full band Planet Awesome, but to the bassist, Tristan Barrett. Come on up here, Tristan.
You see that I'm like serving cocktails to people?
Tristan, put that tray down. Hand that tray to Diddy and get up here on stage.
Okay. Ha ha. Nice try. Nice try. Whoever's behind this, it's time to give it up. Okay. I've toured the world. I've had sex with all the supermodels. Okay. I've played stadiums. I played Coachella. I collaborated with all my heroes. Okay. Ha ha. Ha ha ha.
We hear the music start to come up.
Don't play me off. Who are you playing off? You're pranking yourself. What are you cutting your own prank short? Shut the fuck. Let me get up on stage.
We cut to the voice. All right. That was great hearing from Corey. Now we just want to hear from our judges. Tristan from Planet Awesome, what do you think about Corey's performance?
You want me to give my opinion on his performance?
You're in the fucking chair, man.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, next time you do a prank on someone, give them a normal chair. This thing's swinging me all about. I don't know. I'm not facing any certain direction. Yeah, yeah, okay. I mean, make a fake game show so I can come on and be the judge so you can pants me at the end of it or whatever you're going to do for the Walt Disney Company. But I'll tell you what I won't be doing. I'm not going to be going along with this bull honky any longer. And I say honky on purpose because I am a dumb honky.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Joe, you're going to go first. What would you like to share with us today?
Well, I'm going to tell the story of me getting to my senior prom. And in order to do that, I first have to explain the legend of the ass machine, the greatest car. The ass machine. The greatest
ass machine?
The ass machine.
Okay.
Perfect.
Just going to give you a second here to consider if you want to tell this story.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, you're going to... Once you hear it, it's going to go... no. So the ass machine was the name of my car in high school. The ass machine was dubbed that because it was a piece of ass, not because it would get you ass. Some people make that mistake. Yeah.
But a piece of ass. Yeah.
So the way it got its nickname, so my car was an 86 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra.
All right.
That my dad got. My dad worked in sales, and I had turned 16. My family, not well off enough where it wasn't like I was turning 16 to get in some fancy ass car. But my dad helped a coworker make a sale, and the guy said, "I'll kick you back a little something for on the commission." And then the guy's like, "Well, I have this 86 Oldsmobile. Do you want to take that?" as your cut for the commission. And then I got the 86 Oldsmobile.
Wow.
Now, I really made the car my own. To make it cooler, I duct taped a racing stripe across the top of it. Make it go faster, but it was beautiful. And since we
not
were
like
the
those normal racing stripes that make cars
No. Yeah. Since we were class of 2000, I took electrical tape and had 2000 on the front two doors. Not even well done art, or you know, I didn't like, you know, it was just like tape I found in the garage. And but the car, the S machine, got that name because one night, my buddy Sam, who was on the hockey team with me, I was in Chicago, and it was like your windows get really frosty, and plus my windows are always pretty dirty and stuff. And he was trying to make fun of the car, and he just with his finger wrote "ass machine" on the back window. And when it even afterwards, it like created a mark where just for like 2 weeks it would just say "ass machine" in the back of the car when you look back there because it was kind of dirty. But the car was a favorite in my group of friends, and one of my favorite things we used to do was the cool kids in high school who had the good cars would always go during lunch because you could sit out on the front steps and they would like blast their sound system to, you know, show off, I guess. So my friends and I would take the ass machine, crank Venga Boys up to 11 and drive as slowly as we could down through the front of school, which was fun. Now,
just real quick, the Venga Boys, we're talking like the Six Flags theme song, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Wow. No. Well done, Corey.
Yeah.
We like to party. We like to party.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have a question about their car, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Because I had an Oldsmobile as well. Did it have bench seats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought when you said it was a favorite among your friends, I was like, maybe bench seats could be a factor.
Well, yeah. The other thing that was great about my car is that I could drive. We had off campus lunch and I could fit 5 passengers in there. And everyone would fight for front middle. Actually, that was the most popular seat was front middle because you don't get to do that too often.
Oh, yeah.
So
riding
now
doggy,
that we know,
basically.
Yeah.
So fast forward. So I get that sophomore year. So I want to talk real quick about my senior prom. Now, on prom, what we do, like a big thing is you would get a few of your friends together. And you'd rent a limo to show up to prom. And it was always a bit of a thing, like, who's going to be in your limo group? And me and my date and two of my other friends, you know, and two of their friends, we're going to split a limo. And it's the morning of senior prom. And we get a phone call that our limo broke. I don't know. I guess they had assigned a specific one and our limo was just non-functional. And their reply was, we don't have any more limos. It's prom season. So so that wasn't fun, you know, and, you know, the people in the group are freaking out. And I'm like, well, I got to come up with something. And the thing is I had this really great car, the ass machine. So what was created that day was a business that only ran for one day. It was called the Ass Machine Discount Limo Service. And I made a sign on both sides of the car that read as such.
Was it duct tape or electrical tape again?
No, that I actually bought cardboard, drew it, and just duct taped the whole cardboard sign to the side of the car saying the Ass Machine Discount Limo Service. And then I wanted my date to feel special, so I got a driver. My dad dressed up in a suit and tie. So we could ride in the back seat of the ass machine. You know, you had to make the best of it. And my favorite moment of the whole thing was it was a big thing to actually show up. Like, prom was at, you know, a big, nice hotel. And, you know, your moment of getting to arrive in a limo was really cool. And my dad pulled the ass machine right into the limo lane, honked the horn 3 times, and then hopped out and opened all the doors for us. And all the kids watching, everyone just went nuts. We just got the biggest round of applause.
That's amazing.
This is incredible.
Yeah. So the S Machine became a true legend that day.
That's funny. I'm glad your dad played along with it.
Oh yeah, he was a big sport. Like he was like, he's like, yeah, it's senior prom, you gotta do it right.
I feel like that's a dad's time to shine. Like that is like every like, well, maybe not every dad's, but every like parent's or like guardian's time to shine is like, because we don't really have like debutante balls or like coming out parties. So I feel like it's kind of, for the most part, I mean, there's like quinceañeras and some debutante stuff, but like for like, just like, you know, standard issue American culture, there's nothing except prom, to like stun on people. So I feel like parents are like, no, this is important. This is like,
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're presenting you to the world as an adult, you know, at 18.
Yeah, my dad gave me a wallet with like $100 in it on prom. Like he was like, you're going to need a wallet with that suit or whatever. And then there was like $100 in it for whatever. It was like, my dad doesn't do that stuff at all. But something clicked in him of like, now is my time.
This is appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if there was any... Well, my question for you is, didn't you have other people in your prom group?
Oh, yeah. They had to find their own way. S Machine couldn't fit everyone.
I love that he had room for five, but only room for two on prom.
No, no. It still had to be a little special. So, you know, they got there.
So great.
Was there anyone that didn't get it? Did like your date get it? Did her parents, were they all on board? I guess everyone sort of gets the vibe.
My date was a good sport about it, all things considered, you know. I think it was, she wasn't, I mean, she was going to prom with me, so I don't think she was too surprised. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, I feel like
there might have been part of her that wanted to go in a limo. Yeah. I mean, I was driving that car around every day. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. I feel like most of my relationships are like, you know what you're getting yourself into, or hopefully
the windows are dirty. The windows just are dirty.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
So wait, when you said it left a mark for 2 weeks, do you mean like because they like press their greasy finger into it and it
the
just
greasy
like-
finger combined with like the inner like dirtiness of the inside of the window of the car that even after you could see the mark of where they drew it, you know,
even after you'd like Windex the shit out of it and everything.
Yeah. And it just I mean, eventually faded, but it stayed for a while, long enough for it to be the official nickname of the car, you know, because, you know, it was like the car was speaking to us, you know.
And how did the ass machine die? Was my last question.
The ass machine died.
Is this going to be a tough?
Wow! This
you just froze up.
This just got so machine, somber.
Well,
is this a bad story?
No, in the most fitting way. Its last hurrah was it lasted till I was done with college, and I would drive it when I was back home for the summers. But at that point, I was moving out to L.A., and there was no need to keep it there. So my parents found like a place like, we'll buy your old car, like one of those things. And the last hurrah, though, was someone joyrided it because somehow there was a. It was still registered to like my parents' address, and they're like, "Yeah, the car was found like abandoned or something like that."
Oh,
so whoever bought it like did something with it and just left it somewhere, and it traced back to my parents' address, and they're like, "Yeah, no, we got rid of it." So I'd like to know what the final days of the ass machine truly were like, because it sounded like it had a final hurrah.
Corey,
yeah,
our son had prom 2 weeks ago. I need you to take off that little limo hat. I need you to go back to work. It was a nice thing that you did for him. but it's enough.
Honey, look, I know. And I know that I have a high paying job. And I am an account executive. I get it. But like this is I'm treating this kind of like my Rumspringer. Right. we got married right out of high school. I mean, before we even went to college, which I'm so happy with you. I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
I really am.
I just, sometimes I feel a little cooped up. And when, you know, when Joe's limo didn't, when it didn't show up, it was really my time to shine. You know, I had the hat, you know, I had the outfit.
I know. And it was so sweet that you did that for him, but
yeah.
Our phone is ringing off the hook for Corey's cruising discount limo, and that's not your job.
I mean, well, I mean, until the signs fall off the car.
No,
I'm using it to market the business. When the signs fall off, I'll look, honey. When those signs fall off, I will turn
take them off.
What? No, I can't
take them off.
Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Dad, looking sharp.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, no problem. Good news. Good news. I got you some gigs for the weekend.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got you pretty much booked out. Yes.
Joe, why are you doing this?
I get a cut.
Honey, so. Remember how we wanted him to get a summer job, right? We wanted him to get a summer job between.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, he got the jump on us, right? He's now booking my rides. And it's a family business. Yeah. Right? It's a family business.
We're bringing in like $200 a week. You have a six-figure salary.
Hey, I've already got him $250 worth of gigs for this weekend, okay? So, and I haven't even booked Sunday afternoon yet.
Oh, Sunday? Okay, now listen, Joe, I know we discussed this earlier. It is mother's and mine's anniversary, so...
That's right.
I just need to finish up the rides by 9 p.m. I can't. We can't. Okay.
9 p.m.
Yeah. 9 p.m.
We have dinner. We have dinner reservation at 8. We're going to get a car service to take us to dinner.
Well, no. I canceled the car service.
I swear to God, if you're the limo driver for my anniversary with you.
Okay.
Wait. Where are you guys getting dinner? Are you going to...
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I booked you a couple that wants to go to Ruth's Chris on Sunday. You guys
I'm
could
not
just double
doing
up.
That. Perfect.
Honey, he'll be like driving, and I'll be in the back of the fucking car with a couple.
It's the Schwartzens down the street. They're great.
No, they never stop talking about Legos and they're full grown adults. I don't want to spend.
They got to the car. Schwartzens. They're making a whole television show about the builders. It's called like something the build, but it's just Lego builders, and it's really good. I think it's hosted by Will Arnett.
This sounds incredible, honey. Have you been dabbling at all in any of your hobbies?
Legos?
Yes.
I don't know how to say this nicely, but I actually don't like to talk to the driver when we do this kind of
stuff. It's my husband.
Oh.
Well, we paid for a service. It's just a little awkward. You know, some drivers get too chatty. So get into a Lyft and you're like, I got to work, that kind of thing.
Speaking of drivers getting chatty, is it okay if I don't put this cellophane partition up between us? I just like the contact between me and the back seat. Yeah.
Okay. I love you. I would like to sit up front,
honey,
but you won't allow it.
Let's keep it professional, honey. Come on.
Okay. How about I build a partition with my bucket of Legos?
You brought Legos to your anniversary dinner?
Of course.
We love Legos.
Know this about us.
Honey, let's listen. We need to be a part of this community. We need to be a part of this neighborhood. And the Schwartzes, they love Legos. So maybe we reach across, you know? Also, thank you for sitting in between them. I know this is, you know,
I weird. Tried not to. I got in. I thought they were going to follow in behind me. One followed in this way. The other one went around and came in the other side.
Driver. Yes. I've got your tip. Driver.
His name is Corey.
Driver.
He's my husband.
I got you a tip for being such a good driver. I made you a Lego car. It looks like your car, but it's Legos.
Oh, wow. Want that is a tip.
I would. He would. You know, he's on a bit of a rumspringer.
Who?
Dale is. Dale's on a little bit of a rumspringer.
A little bit.
He's got a job at the post office.
Hey, Dale.
Why do you...
Dale, I'm also on a bit of a rumspringer, too. Do you want to ditch Ruth and Chris?
And go rumspringer together?
Yeah. Why not?
Normally... I would be worried because that would imply some sort of sexual exploits. But it seems like the two of you are just going to get jobs that you don't need a lot of qualifications for. Doesn't pay too highly.
Exactly.
That's exactly the plan here. Yeah.
That's right.
I don't understand what your problem is here, honey. You said that I drive you nuts around the house and I need to get out of the house and I need to find a way to occupy myself. And I'm doing it.
This is taking over your other job and the couple we're on a date with. This one over here is what appears to be constructing a Lego replica of you. And I don't know
it's gorgeous. What
that's for.
I mean, it's beautiful. I'd say we put that up on the mantle.
Oh, it's life-size. We're just going to prop a life-size Lego version of you sitting cross-legged on the mantle.
Yeah,
You might need to push one of these seats forward. We're gonna get big back here.
Honey, okay. Oof, this is uncomfortable. Would you mind maybe I put some pillows and some blankets in the trunk? If you wouldn't mind. Maybe.
Yeah, those shouldn't have been out here anyway.
At the next light, maybe you hop in the trunk. Maybe you get a little comfy in the trunk.
You want me to hop in the trunk on our anniversary? I'm getting out.
Okay, well, just make sure that you don't close the trunk all the way on yourself because I don't want you suffocating.
No, I'm not getting in the trunk. Oh. I'm leaving. I don't want to do this anymore. This is a nightmare of a scenario for me.
So you brought your car here to get a paint job. If you want to just take a look through the catalog here, go ahead and take your pick and we'll do our best to accommodate you.
Okay. Wow. A lot of options here. Mm-hmm. Lot of options. Oof. Oh man.
Well, it's these AMCO. Are just, you know, we've got all the options, you know?
Oh man. I'm a little overwhelmed and I'm just on the greens. These, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and flip the page.
Nice. Ooh.
We can also do custom jobs, too. You don't have to pull something out of the catalog.
Oh, you do?
We see a little bead of sweat drops off his... a bead of sweat drops off his head onto the page and sort of messes up the tints of the greens.
Whew. Oh, are you...
Yeah, this is just...
my God.
This is big. Okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of options. Okay. Also, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just it's different when you actually have to make the decision. That's all. So.
Yeah. No, I understand. That's why we give you the booklet here. I did notice when you sweat onto the swatch there. This is a laminated booklet, and your sweat managed to change the color, even though. It's lemon, and there's no. What's going on here? Are you okay, or?
I'm just a little greasy today. That's all.
Okay.
We see a bit of green drips from his from his shirt on the back of his shirt. We see green drips.
Woo.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'll just make a decision. That's all you want, right? You just want me to pick out a color here.
Maybe this is overstepping this boundary here, like the
no boundaries. Boundary. Go for it.
Are you leaking? Are you leaking something?
We see the passenger side door of his car flies open. Yes!
My God!
A little blob in like a blonde wig comes out with a purse and a cigarette.
Yeah! Oops!
Just make a decision, honey.
Okay. Sorry.
Human decision.
Make a...
Just a normal paint job. Yeah. And you will do...
Yep, I'll just make a normal human decision. Okay. All right, honey. Okay.
Okay. I can't help but notice you said a normal human decision after clear blob of a wife just.
Hey!
Whoa!
That's my wife.
I did not mean any offense. She's literally a blob with a blonde wig on though. So I.
Okay. I didn't.
Corey, I'm going to need you to upsell the wax job and not refer to our customers as a blob in a wig.
Hey, Dave, if you wouldn't mind just kind of coming out of the back office and checking out what I'm dealing with here, that'd be real helpful.
What's going on?
He comes out, immediately the blob shifts into like a pretty attractive, like normal looking woman.
God. If that's a blob, I should divorce my wife and find my own. Am I right?
Hey, Dave.
Upsell that wax job, Corey. I got to go back and do the numbers.
Okay.
We follow him to the office and his wife is there. What?
What? It's car room talk. Did you get a look at that? Come on.
Look at what? He goes and looks out the person that's back in a blob. Licking flies out of the air. Oh, really? That's what you'd prefer that to me.
That was Kathy Ireland out there. Gosh, come on. I'm only human. I love you, baby, but hootie tootie was that a bride.
All right. Well, I'm out of here. I came here for some afternoon delight, but I'm going home. I don't...
We see her open up the window and hop out the window.
What the hell? Corey, you better make a sale. I just lost my fucking marriage.
I'm sorry. Wait, is this... I didn't realize is the intercom... live this whole... I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to...
No, it's okay. I've been working on my human decision.
Your hand... I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that you understand that your hand is somehow a baguette now. It's like it's morphed into like a French baguette.
No. It's always been a baguette. What are you talking about?
Okay.
They both turn into full baguette humans. All right. They're both baguettes. Mine's a little feminine still.
Yeah. Okay.
A little baguette.
Yeah, your wife is a baguette smoking a small baguette. Look, I know I need to get this sale done. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. The customer's always right. Go ahead.
Okay, yep. I think the problem was I don't think we want green.
That's the problem, is that green is the disruptive. Okay, well, let's flip to another page in the booklet and see what other colors might appeal to you.
Okay, yeah.
We flip to red, and he turns completely red.
Ah, I'm not allowed to look at that.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, turn it. Pass on red.
Okay. Hey, Dave.
Hmm? What, Corey? Dave,
can you please come out here? Can you please come out here? I think I need an assist on these.
All right. What's going on?
Boom, Scarlett Johansson.
Smoking
a baguette.
Big bongy. Wowie, wowie.
Hey, stop.
We cut to Jake and his wife's marriage counseling. So
she's all broken because you've jumped out of a window.
So do you understand why your wife won't put herself back together? Do you understand why she's so upset?
I would normally I would get it, but two just hot to trot freaky foxies came into the store. I think I should get a little pass to, you know, just admire that. I love my wife.
The lengths he will go to gaslight me. The lengths he will go.
I'm not gaslighting.
Says garshy garsh. Oh, freaky foxy bing bang. I got a big old woo-woo, whatever he wants to say. And I look out there and he's staring at a loaf of bread or he's staring at a translucent blob with a wig on it.
I don't know what they're talking about. I saw nothing but a big old babe walking the walk with a nice little tickety tot.
He can't help himself.
Do you understand why that hurts your wife? Why that upsets her when you use language like that to describe another woman and not her?
I love my wife.
I've never seen you pay a compliment to her, especially not a compliment like that.
Okay, I can do that.
Come on.
Okay.
The wife gets up, starts smiling a little bit. Say something nice.
Look at that. Oh my gosh, look at that sack in a bag.
Sack in a bag? A sack in a bag? A sack in a bag. Wow. Wow. That is the most insulting thing anyone has ever said to me. I look like a sack in a bag.
Grace, he's trying, okay? He's trying.
He is?
I think that is
a I'm trying.
You see a literal grocery bag gets caught in a box fan and starts drifting across the room.
Now, Dave, stop. I need you to focus up on me and not
garbage
the
flying around.
Not the garbage bag.
Well, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
For just a moment, the garbage bag turns into Jenny McCarthy from the 90s.
Oh, me, oh my, I got pie in my eye with that. Googity goo.
They all look back, it's just a bag again. You see?
Jenny McCarthy came in here.
What? Okay, I've let this go for too long. What is your obsession with 90s buxom women? What is this?
Oh, I shouldn't have to explain that. What's your obsession with wanting to eat breakfast in the morning? How you get the day started, okay? She singled out fame, the Candies ads where she was on the toilet. Come on, yum a dum dum, give me a little tug.
Okay, now do me. His wife pulls up her dress a little bit.
Flat stack.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast. Where a guest shares a true meaty story from her life. Corey, you are up. What would you like to talk about?
I had like straight up like a car story and a music story on deck for these. This works. I'm not going to do the car story though, because I feel like we've only, this can't be the car episode, can it? It shouldn't be.
No, we're saving that.
On National Car Appreciation Day is when we'll release that. So back in the day, I would go to a ton of concerts, like because I lived in the Mid-Hudson Valley in upstate New York, and would go down to shows. I went to SUNY New Paltz and like my other friends, and we would go to shows. And one particular show that I went to was this ensemble thing called New York in Time. And it basically brought together a whole bunch of percussion musicians and like DJs and people who were like producers. And it was one of the coolest fucking shows I've ever seen. They basically just had like a 3, maybe even like a 4-hour long show where different percussion artists would come out and use different things. Like there's like a bunch of the song, The Watermelon Man, has that like the like weird vocal sounds. Durf Reklaw is one of the dudes who like worked on that. His name is like Durf Reklaw, which is just a fucking cool name. Whoa. Anyways. But Durf, yeah, D-E-R-F Reklaw, like spelled R-E-C-L-A-W, I think just, but he was the dude who like, yeah, everyone blows into like bottles and like we all know that that like is a sound that can be produced musically, but this dude like recorded that and like he was one of the first people to do that, to like use just random instruments or random implements from his life to create sounds, to like bring into his music. And then there's another dude named Mameo from a band called Azimuche, which is a Brazilian band, spelled Azimuth, but and like, so it's like we've got like these old dudes from like the 70s and then like these Brazilian fucking pop like sensations paired up with like DJs from like underground hip hop and like all these other weird musicians. So they basically just like held the stage and performed, and they were using like the tops of their turntables as like skins for drums and like playing together and like using random things like mic stands and like using like literally like an like a cord and like a mic stand to like tap out a very specific sound and like create these ensemble pieces that were brilliant. And I went with my friend and we were so wrapped up in this that we were like, hey, we're never going to get a chance to see these people again, especially not in this combination. So we were like, I think we're going to miss our train to go back upstate to New Paltz. I think this was in like 2000, 2001. And we literally slept on the streets of New York after this show because we were so committed to like watching every last act, every last like bit and component of this show, down to like watching them like load their gear out at the end of the, it was so cool. And there were like maybe 10, like it was a fairly large venue, but then had a like pretty much emptied out because like everyone was like, oh, the show, how many hours can you watch people tap on the top of a turntable cover before you're like, I think I get it. But like as these very thirsty early adults, we were just like, oh, we need to see every component of this. We need to see them unplug every instrument. We need to see them break down the stands. We need to see them roll up the carpets that the drum fucking kits were like. And we did it. And definitely like literally slept on the streets of New York. Parents freaked Whoa. Out over that. Freaked out.
Like where, on benches or something? Like at a park or just like?
Like literally like we went to try to get like Grand Central Terminal, the last train to upstate New York, I think is done at like 2 a.m. So basically from 2 a.m. we just kind of like wandered around Midtown Manhattan and then found like outdoor cafe spaces that would accommodate us so we could just like straight up like sit in a chair or like lean up against a shrub, and we slept for like in like the turn, like I think it might have been like pre 9/11, so like New York was just very much like like no police presence, no anything. And it was just the weirdest, most volatile situation I've like wandered out of completely unscathed. Cause it's, you know, it's clear that we were college kids just like sleeping on the street. Like it was
right.
Yeah. With like our like, you know, backpacks like wrapped up in our arms and shit. Like it was just anything could have happened. But it was also, it was one of the most fun things I've ever done. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
I feel like my instinct would be just to stay awake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you try to?
No. I think we literally were just like, well, we missed the train and we, I don't, it's not like we're college kids. Like we could have just stayed up all night. Like it's not, that yeah. wasn't a thing that we hadn't experienced before. But I think we were just so drained from like the concert and the energy and like the effort, and we did some drinking.
Yeah.
So like we were not in the best state of mind.
Yeah.
Did you get food? Did you eat anywhere?
I don't think so. I think we literally just were like single-mindedly like, we need to try to watch the rest of this. And I think like by the time we got out, there was just nothing open. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, like pretzel and hot dog carts had like closed up. Like it was just like, it was a weekday too. Like it wasn't like we went in on a Friday and it was bumping. It was like a Tuesday evening. So yeah, like waking up to seeing people walking to like their Midtown Manhattan jobs while you're like crust punked out. Like, it was, yeah.
So you lived in New York later, right? Because
yeah. Like, yeah.
You did, right?
Yeah.
I always wondered about that because my main experiences with New York is the Del Close Marathon, which is an improv marathon in New York City for the
listeners.
Sorry
about that. I apologize.
And like, I have so many memories of just like staying up all night, wandering around the streets. Like, I remember like hanging out on a bench and like kind of like must be close to pass, just like joggers going by and being like, oh shit, that's happening. So when you lived in New York, how weird would a site would that site have been? Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
how weird is it to see like young people just like still?
I would have been concerned, like, and not that like I don't care about people who are unhoused, but like people who are unhoused usually have their like wits about them and know the situation they're in. You know what I mean? Like, we were like they know. You know, like just thinking about it now as an adult, like I'm pretty sure I just like slept with like my backpack, like on my chest with like the zippers exposed and everything. At least now I would have been like, oh, use that as like a pillow. So if someone goes in it, they would disrupt you and you would be, you know, like just little things that you think of as an adult. And certainly as someone who lived in New York, if I saw that, like, I would be like, oh, something's wrong here. Like something.
Yeah.
Something went awry. They're like, maybe one of their friends got arrested and they're just like waiting for that. Or I would just be worried for sure. I'm talking real shit.
If you guys want to give us a hand, we're just the roadies. We're just cleaning up the concert. You know, I don't know why you're still watching us, but we're trying to get out of here.
We're crushing it.
This is great.
Are you making fun of us? Because it's not really that funny. We actually have to get all this shit in the trucks.
Hell no. It's the best part of the show.
Cable rap. Cable rap. Cable rap.
Terry, don't wrap the cable faster, okay? They're not actually encouraging you. They're making fun.
No, you got it, Terry.
Terry, you're crushing it. Solo!
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Harry, don't encourage. Hey, I don't know what this is. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the Metallica show. All right,
it was all right.
It was pretty good. Nothing I haven't seen before.
Yeah, they are not bad for an opener.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What are you gonna do with these mic stands, man?
Yeah.
Huh?
Where are those going?
Telescope them closed, and they're going in one of the many trucks. We're going to Houston tomorrow.
Speaking of telescoping. You're going to want a telescope for these sweet tits. Look at that.
Hey, honey. Hey, I thought we talked about this. Come on.
Sorry. I got wrapped up in the show.
I understand. I did too, but I thought.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's okay. I love you.
Sorry.
I love you.
You better be careful. Like, Terry, you have to understand, Terry here is not a rock star, right? He's not going to take a random flash of titties like a rock star would. He's going to fall in love with your wife.
So it's a coordinated flash of titties? Is that what we need? It's not a random flash of
titties? No, we don't need any titties. Okay. I mean, I guess I appreciate it, but I'm just saying, we're not rock stars, okay?
I'm gonna go get flowers for that pretty lady who flashed me her tits.
Terry, don't get flowers. Wrap the fucking cables.
Yeah, wrap that cable.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. We see Terry getting all sexy.
Terry, I mean, he is doing it fast. Listen. I don't know what to tell you. Thanks for coming to the show. I mean, we'll be in Houston tomorrow breaking down that show as well and setting up if you want to check that out.
You gonna be wearing those fingerless gloves or what?
These are my work gloves. Yeah, I like to be tactile with my fingertips, but I don't want to wreck my palms.
Yeah,
that's the glove. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the glove.
That's what I'm talking about. Wreck those palms. Wreck those palms. Wreck those palms. Wreck those palms. Wreck those palms.
Stop saying that, because Terry will be Terry's going to be irresponsible.
Terry slinkily taking off the fingerless gloves.
Terry, keep your gloves on. You're going to get sore, Bal.
No, not Terry. I'm going to wreck these palms.
You see what you did, honey? Honey, please stop. He's only making eye contact with you when he's saying this. And
I'm sorry. I didn't realize he would fall in love with me.
No, listen, look, if we want to do the cuck thing, we can do the cuck thing, but it's got to be like, we have to talk about it beforehand, please.
Sorry, but yes, I would like to do the cuck thing. I'm sorry to bring it up beforehand.
Okay. All right. It's okay.
I don't think Terry's going to play his part in that. In that scenario.
Cuck my wife! Cuck my wife! Cuck my wife!
Cuck his wife! Cuck his wife! Cuck his wife. Come on.
Gosh, is it okay if I get off a little early to cuck his wife? I mean,
when you get off a little early, you don't have
to
go anywhere.
Can I just leave early and cuck his wife?
Don't fuck... Look at what we have to take down still. Look, we have to take all these lights down.
Oh, yeah. Josh, why are you being such a jerk to Terry? Why don't you guys just break down these lights, which I really want to see, so Terry can go cuck this guy's wife?
Yeah. Terry, you can do it on stage. I'm not saying, I'll wrap cables while you cuck my wife right on stage, if that's cool. Yeah?
Okay. Deal. Deal. Terry, if you want to cuck this man's wife on stage, everyone get ready for disappointment.
We see this man's wife boosting him up onto stage. Honey, careful. All right.
Usually the cuck holding thing, you get off on it somehow. You can't do that. You have to wrap these cables. After this, we're going to send you up there and you're going to unfasten those lights.
I just want to say out here in the audience, let's not forget, I want to see both wrapping the stage and a good cucking, okay? I've waited around for hours through a damn Metallica show for this.
Why are you still sitting in your seat? You don't have to sit in row M for this.
Because I respect tickets.
It's over. The show is over.
This is my seat. This is my seat.
A vendor comes down and gives him a pizza. Here you go.
It's about time.
I was on. He called me. I had to come from home.
I ordered that during Enter Sandman. Sorry to bring you back here.
No problem.
The vendor's in like his pajamas. He's like,
sweet. Is it? Did I just show up in time for the cucking?
Yes, you did.
What do you mind the cucking?
At the end of every show, they wrap the mics and then someone gets cut.
I wish that is that advertised somewhere? Because
yeah,
I'm using good roadies.
It's advertised on the Loadout subreadit.
Loadout.
Loadout. Yeah, you know, like load in.
It's for
It's load in. It's a play on, you know.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool.
I got it.
God, why are you being such a square? You probably were the guy who was like, nah, Prince, don't play a second show after the first show.
He couldn't, because we had to... I did say that to Prince one time, and we had to clean up. We had to clean up because Bruno Mars was on after.
Wait, are you the guy who came out and... You stopped Prince's encore in the middle of his encore? You stopped him? And
I had to set up the stage for Bruno.
Wow,
man.
Okay.
Wow. That's why you're never gonna get cucked, man.
I'm so glad that you're.
I
not
don't
cucking
want
my
to
wife.
Get cucked. I'm gonna.
Hey, how about a lot less talking and more cord rapping and cucking?
I'm doing my part.
All right, honey. honey,
where
honey,
is
here.
Security?
I'm going to hoist you up on stage here. On stage here, okay?
Here. Okay. There we go.
There we go. All right.
All right.
So, oh, Josh.
Gary.
Josh, would you mind, this is a big ask. Would you mind filming this? Because we're going to need this for our library.
I am at work. I am doing, you are, the exchange was, you are also at work.
I'm going to put this GoPro set up on you so you can look like you're doing work. And it's a front-facing and an outward-facing GoPro so we can see your response to the cucking that's happening in close proximity.
Don't. I don't want to be in this video. Why am I a part of the cuck? What you're going to see is my face as I dismantle some lights.
That's what we want in the video.
That's literally Terry the comes, only way I can get off.
Terry comes dancing out, and he trips on one of the mic cords. And it pulls one of the lights, and the light fixture crushes Terry's head.
No! No!
Whose job was that? Josh? You were supposed to take the lights down.
I'm trying to take the lights down. Terry's out here he's getting his head crushed while he's trying to cuck someone's wife.
Is this so you can cuck my wife, Josh? You're not cucking my wife. You missed your chance.
I refuse to take responsibility.
Okay, maybe you can cuck my wife a little bit.
I don't want to, all right? I don't need to be yelled at by Lars Ulrich as I'm trying to clean up after his show.
Look.
You know what? Way to go, guys. Way to go. I had one dream to eat a slice of pizza while watching some cords get wrapped and a guy's wife get cucked, but now I'm down with my damn pizza and I'll never get to do it all at once.
That's your fault. Take your time with the pizza.
I'm hungry. I ordered it during Enter Sandman. Thanks for coming with me to IKEA.
Yeah. No problem.
Just got a big list, you know, starting up a band, so I need some instruments. So
wait, what?
Well, you know how I used to always talk about wanting to do the music career? Well, I'm going for it. So
great. I love that.
So I need some like things to bang on. Maybe some household products that I can record and play back later.
No, you should get an instrument.
What?
You should get some instruments. I don't know why you're getting stuff from IKEA to bang.
Well, I'm getting stuff from IKEA because they have everything I need and I don't want to have to go to like four stores. So,
Drums. They don't have drums, which is, I think, what you need.
I don't want drums. Everyone does drums. I need a...
Okay.
Or that way I can beat. Okay, so let's just make our way to the bedroom section. Thanks for coming. You got any stuff at your house, like furniture or whatever?
I have furniture at my house. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I might need to borrow some of it once I start gigging up. I might need to borrow some of it.
No. If you want to buy stuff at IKEA to bash around, that's fine. You're not borrowing my furniture for gigging.
But I might need it depending on how much my band blows up.
No. There is no way you're gonna need my furniture to knock around.
Way to not support my dreams.
I am supporting your dreams.
You are? Okay, well, let's see what happens when push comes to shove. I'm gigging around, and then I'm like, oh my God, I need a chair and a table, stat.
Get it here.
They don't know who my friends are. Okay.
We're at IKEA. Why are you planning for a backup my furniture? Just get two chairs here.
There's no way. There's no way with the way I'm planning on playing that this stuff is going to make it to my next gig.
No, then what?
So I'm lining up some backups.
So you know that this stuff is crap for an instrument and you're going to buy it, crap it, and then ask for mine? Change your...
Yeah, that's the plan. Okay. All right. Fine. If you don't want to commit yet, can you at least just help me pick out the dresser, a couple of chairs, and like hopefully a clock? It can be broken or not. I'm not picky.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
We see a middle-aged couple buy some dressers, like closing, opening and closing the drawers.
Hey, 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 buddy.
I like the action.
Hey, buddy. Hey, 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 excuse me. Excuse me, you too. I need an opening act. I need an opening act, and you guys got it. You got the stuff.
Opening act where? What?
I'm going to start gigging with my band, and I heard you playing. I'm not gigging yet, but I'm going to be gigging with my band soon, and I'm going to need an opening act, and I heard you playing the dresser. It's pretty good.
You like my voice or something?
No, no vocals. Unless you're like like just recording sounds like sucking on a lollipop or something. That's useful. But anyway.
Well, I mean, this is kind of wild. You've hit the jackpot. He graduated from Berklee School of Music, so you could, I mean.
Oh, my God.
This isn't what it looks like. This is not a match. You all seem like you think this is a match. It's not a match.
It's not a match. It feels like a match.
What kind of stuff do you play? I play guitar, classical.
Don't be modest. You play all the string instruments. It's not just
the string instruments.
You play the guitar very well.
Oh, and the piano.
Yeah. And the piano. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, you know, I'm just getting started. I'm about to start gigging, so I'm picking up a couple chairs and a dresser, and I'm going to bang those around for a bit and see what noises come out. Then, you know, really sky's the limit. I might get some rugs and just like hang them from the ceiling and smack them with my hands.
We're sorry we wasted your time. You seem like a nice couple.
Way to blow it.
Is this your manager?
No.
Not yet.
No. Oh, I have a very high paying six-figure accounting job. I'm not going to take a banging around furniture manager position, band manager.
Oh, wow. You missed
not even on a Rumspringer.
I'm sorry.
Not even as a Rumspringer. You don't want to become a low level music manager.
I mean, it's a side.
What are you all talking about? I make six figures. I do very well for myself.
As an accountant.
In a
boring accounting job. Don't you want a little culture?
This is your chance. And as a manager, you can let me use some of your furniture.
You're not having any.
I'm
going to
need that furniture once I start gigging.
Stop it.
I'm going to be gigging soon.
You're not gigging.
I'm going to be gigging so much when you're my manager because you can get me the gigs.
I'm not going to book you gigs. I've got a job. I've got a wife and kids.
Why do you hate my dreams? Okay. You've got the chairs I need and the smarts to help me gig.
I don't. Maybe that guy does. That guy looks like he might. He's wearing some sort of band t-shirt. I don't know. I don't know. It looks like he's Tristan from Awesome Planet or whatever.
What?
This is, I mean, I'm actually, I'm, whatever. I it's not a big deal. I'm not that big of a band member. I've just done whatever. But this guy sounds really interesting, though. I mean, you're an avant-garde artist, yeah?
I wouldn't call it avant-garde. I'd call it.
You never told me you're an Awesome Planet.
Look, I don't.
You were always my fan.
Yeah, but this is a part of my life that, like, I just don't talk about. It was just a laugh, you know?
You guys are great. You did songs about women and partying?
Yeah.
Right?
You got that the most
one song, like, I fucked a translucent blob on the side of the road. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Translucent blob, right? What does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, just one day, I stumbled into an Amco, and there was this weird interaction that was happening at the counter. And it just looked like,
you know,
maybe you want to.
Sometimes you don't want to know these things.
Yeah. It's like a loose, you know what I mean?
I thought it was.
Guys, no. I just need to buy some chairs so I can start gigging. I need to do normal human stuff, okay? Normal human stuff, playing gigs, banging chairs around, getting gigs from my smart friend who makes six figures.
I'm not getting you gigs.
We cut to Joe's gigs.
Damn it. Gig.
He's setting up the stage like a living room.
Okay, all right. The dresser doesn't go over there. Jesus.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't usually work with living room furniture. I usually set up stage shows for Metallica and the
Oh,
like.
Okay. Well, this is a little bit different. While I'm banging the drawers open and shut, I need to also be able to smash a chair. So we can't have them on opposite sides of the stage. This is, I thought.
Hey, if you're banging and smashing, would you mind doing some cucking too? Just some light cucking on stage, if that's all right?
How long do we got before showtime? I could probably get a quick cuck session.
That'll do it for this episode of the Meat Improv. Thank you, Joe and Corey, for coming on.
Yeah,
playing with us.
Thank you.
That was a blast.
My pleasure.
What would you like to plug for our audience? Social media or anything you got at all? Let's start with you, Corey.
You can find me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at BurnCoreyBurn. I don't do TikTok because I'm not doing TikTok.
Never say never.
I don't want to. I think I maybe had an account at one point, but it's gone. But yeah, you can find me on BurnCoreyBurn. Also, Illuminati Improv has shows twice a month, and we have a mailing list on our website where you can sign up for a class. That will be showing up in the very near future. We'll be doing workshops and improv as it relates to not just like acting, but like life and stuff too. So we're going to be implementing some of those classes soon. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey. Joe?
Oh yeah, and me? No, if you want to check out, I like making some funny videos. You can find me on Instagram or YouTube as Emphatic Pictures. Emphatic Pictures, all one word. Yeah, check it out there.
Hell yeah.
Great.
Hell
yeah. Joe makes awesome videos. Check out Joe's videos.
Thank you.
Jake?
Truly. Especially his road trip, please, for his road trip video. Go back and look at his road trip videos. They're so good.
Those are fun ones.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to check it out. You can go to weimprov.net or twitch.tv/weimprov for shows, classes, script stuff, all that fun stuff.
Great. I'm at Josh Simpson on everything, Instagram, TikTok, although I don't do TikTok really, Twitter, Letterboxd, and of course, YouTube. That's the thing I'm trying to do. You know, in my late 30s, you start a YouTube channel and you hope that that's going to do something for you.
Exactly. You see why I gave up on TikTok, right? I was like, I'm bad at this. I'm not going to be good at YouTube either. So.
But my YouTube's Josh Simpson. Do a video every week. And you can find it at all my other socials, Josh Simpson. The Meat Improv is on all of the socials as well. Twitter and Instagram are the big ones. And we also have a YouTube channel for the Meat Improv, and our Patreon, where you get a second weekly episode with Jake and I, and where we talk shop a little bit, talk a little bit about improvising and how we do it. That's at patreon.com/themeatimprov. Thank you so much. Thank you, Corey and Joe, again for being on. We'll see everyone next time on The Meat.